This is the second quarantine conversation that I am having. I am with a friend who is on the other side of the country. I am in Los Angeles and he is in New York City, and I've known him for a while, but clearly his life has been affected, as have most of our lives been affected by the quarantine. So would you please introduce yourself and tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Simon Brown. I'm a composer. I have a band. I write a lot of music. I do a lot of sound art. And I work as a teacher mostly. So I teach cello, and obviously that's been affected a lot by the quarantine, as have my other projects, and pretty much everyone I know is a musician or some kind of weird artist, and everyone's been affected. So that's a little bit about me.
What did you find that changed? Let's say on Wednesday night, life was normal, and then you woke up Thursday morning and life had changed pretty much as we know it for forever. So what did you first start to notice immediately?
Well, the first thing was, I work for middle school, and they just decided that they were shutting the school down. They preemptively shut down before DOE did. So we went to all online classes. That meeting was Friday. Like, let me look at the calendar here. It was Friday, I guess 2 weeks from last Friday. So it was pretty early. Yeah, that was the 27th. So 2 weeks ago.
27th of March?
Yeah. And they just said, they held a meeting at 3 p.m. They said, we're not coming in on Monday. And it was surreal.
And what did you do? I mean, what did you think? Like, you're younger than I am, so you may not have, you were not in the position you're in now when 9/11 happened, where you were still a kid. But what was the difference? Or what did you notice that changed immediately on that Friday?
Oh man, actually, I have no sense of time right now. It was actually like the 13th of April or something, and we were supposed to be back by the 26th. I mean, everything changed. Like, I'm stuck at home. I can't see friends. You know, we live in cities for reasons, and I want to see people and I want to see shows. And it's I'm just stuck at home, and like FaceTime doesn't cut it.
So you've got a case of cabin fever, obviously. Yeah. Well, probably. Have you been able to venture out at all? Just to go to the store, the bodega, or the market, or anything like that?
Yeah, the markets in New York, most of them aren't hit that hard. I hear that Manhattan is, I hear from some people it's better, some people it's worse, but I'm in Brooklyn. The supermarkets were really, really busy at first. Like, it would take an hour just to get through one, but they kept them pretty well stocked. There were like times in the week and of the day when you really couldn't get anything, but we never experienced like shortages or rations or anything.
The aisles in LA have been decimated with no toilet paper, no paper products of any kind. It's strange to go into large supermarkets where there's, on the right hand side of the aisle, it's completely barren. And then on the left-hand side, there's like, you know, some cleaning products. But people made a run for toilet paper.
Why?
I don't know. No one really knows. They put it as, you know, we had to shelter in place and not leave and it brought out I don't know. I think maybe one person was probably buying toilet paper for a large family. Someone assumed they were hoarding it. And then it just became like a Black Friday sale at Walmart at 4 a.m. just for toilet paper.
I have a theory. My theory is millennials. Millennials. I mean, the New York City Board of Health had to put out a statement that said rimming is not healthy during this time. And I think they want to be stuck at home and they want to be clean and like ready.
Is that true?
No, but it's my theory. the New York City Board of Health thing is true. They did put out a statement saying, quote, rimming. I don't know what terminology they used, but they said rimming is bad. So don't eat ass, kids.
You mentioned now you're a teacher.
Yeah.
So how is that? Now, are you currently teaching now or are you on spring break?
I'm on spring break. So, you know, it's ridiculous. My school is actually really, I'm one of the lucky ones in my circle of like musician friends, because all of them were doing like these after school programs or like private lessons. And some of that stuff moved online and some of it didn't. And a lot of them were like relying on gigs for income. And I'm pretty much not. My income did take a hit because I work on movies and stuff, but my base salary is teaching. And also the school that I work for is like really respectful, at least of the artists that the art teachers. So they're not making me do Zoom lessons if I don't want to. They just have me post a little bit on Google Classrooms. And I just feel like the kids are already having so many Zoom lessons, and half of them, like, it was so sudden, half of them didn't take home their instruments. So I'm just like, watch this video and like write some bullshit so you can get a grade. And I don't want to stress them out with Zoom lessons.
Sure. I mean, it certainly takes away from the experience of learning. But unfortunately, that's kind of where we're at right now. But the experience of, it's kind of like watching a band perform on YouTube, like on a video, like of a live show versus like being there in person. It takes all that away from it.
I'm all for kids learning. I'm not trying to be a lazy teacher or anything, but they're in Zoom classes from the morning until when I get them in the afternoon. And they just don't need to sit there and listen about, you know, Bach and how great he was and why we should still play his music if they don't have to, because it's not that relevant right now. I also teach at a youth orchestra and we do some Zoom programming, but it's way down. Like they play for 3 hours on Saturdays usually, and now they have half an hour of music theory.
What do you miss most unrelated to your job?
Oh, my family and friends. I have really close family and really close friends. I try to see my grandma out in Long Island like at least once a month, if not more. And it's hard. Like, I don't even feel like I can go and say hi to her because she's at risk. You know, she's in her 80s and I don't want to get her sick and be the one responsible for her dying and lose her because I just had to like stop by and say hi, but it is hard.
What other social activities do you miss? Because, you know, like myself, you're living in one of the largest cities in the world, known for culture and all kinds of arts. And it's very exciting to live in a place like LA or New York, even though people might look down upon it, but to someone who has sort of like an artistic mind or you know what I mean? Like has an interest in the arts, I guess, or just creativity. I think that for me, I miss just seeing what people create all the time.
Oh man.
What about yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like you going to a show every single night for a year. It's kind of like I thought I was an introvert a little bit, and this is teaching me that I'm totally not, because, you know, I have like a week where I'll stay at home, but that week where I'm staying at home, actually, you know, I'm going to have breakfast with somebody and like, oh, maybe I'll just stop by this bar and see Andrew. And maybe I'll just like go see a movie tonight. I mean, I just moved in the middle of all this bullshit. And now I'm like a 20-minute walk, maybe 25, from the greatest movie theater in New York City. You go and you pay $5 and you can watch, it's like volunteer run, maybe 30 seats. And they play titles like The Surfer. I don't know if you know about this one.
No.
I can't even describe what this man is, but it's him and his son. And it goes from like B movie to Shakespeare drama to like aliens. I mean, it's magnificent. I saw a Klaus Nomi documentary. That was like the last thing I did before. So that theater I really miss. That's called Spectacle Cinema. I miss shows. I miss going to bars. I miss going dancing. I miss just like hanging out at the coffee shop on Monday morning. A friend and I had a ritual where we just hang out and like apply for grants. A big festival I was curating got canceled. That was at the Brooklyn Public Library. I mean, I miss life. I didn't move to this city and pay $1,000+ a month to live in a tiny apartment and get stuck in it.
Right. Like, we could have both stayed in the small town we were living in and had the same experience.
Yeah. Maybe better than a hike.
What? So you mentioned you had something that had canceled on you or had been canceled that you were involved in. Tell us a little bit about that. Like what was that all about, that festival?
Yeah. I got commissioned last year to write a string quartet for this Grammy Award winning quartet. They're called Ethel. They're really great. And they commissioned four composers. They're really focused on up and coming composers right now for years actually. And they really kind of like committed to helping us get our careers off the ground. And that commission was great. But then they just hit us with this like festival, this 2-day music festival. And they wanted the four of us to curate four concerts for it. And it was an opportunity to have my group be put on a stage with them. And I was going to kind of premiere, do the first real full-length performance of the musical style I do, which is realism. I just kind of invented it. It's not really a thing. But now it's canceled. So that, I mean, it's not even officially canceled, but it's supposed to be May 30th. And I don't see a way that that happens.
And what sort of like the process of doing all of this, like how did you reach out to them, or how did they find you?
I went to Brooklyn College. Yeah. And they came through, the violist came through and gave a speech. His name is Ralph Farris. And he's done stuff with movies. So he came to the film school. I was like taking some film classes, getting my composition degree. And I just like saw him outside, and I actually had a lot of stuff to talk to him about. He's a pretty interesting guy, and he was answering some technical questions. And then I just asked him if he wanted to get coffee. He wanted to, and then the group came in and recorded movie score students, like scoring students' work. But there was one extra slot because I guess they were kind of lazy and didn't want a Grammy Award winning quartet playing their music. I don't know. And I ended up writing a piece for them. And, you know, not to rag on my fellow classmates, they're awesome, but there's a lot of like boring movie music happening. And I think the group really enjoyed playing a piece that was like more built up or something. I don't know. I can't speak for them, but I think it stood out. And then they reached out to me about a year later and said they wanted to do this.
Where do you get your inspiration from for your composing? Like, where are you drawing your influence from at the time?
I get inspiration all over the place from a lot of other people's music. I will tell you, I get a lot of inspiration from going to random shit, like seeing a dance company do something, or seeing like a noise show where somebody's like whacking a guitar with a dildo or whatever. Like, I'll be watching that and have this idea for a string quartet. It's really weird. And that's why right now it's super, super hard to be inspired, because I think a lot of us are just passing energy around and like, look at what we're doing. I'm putting microphones in my vagina. What do you think about that? And I'm like, wow, maybe I can mic people's heartbeats. Maybe that's cool. And now it's not really happening that way. But I get inspiration from seeing other people do stuff.
Do you have quarantine sort of rituals that you've now had to develop with your friends in New York, like weekly or nightly Zoom parties, yelling out the window at 8 p.m., like howling at the moon or whatever the hell people are doing? Or are you just kind of taking this time to clean your apartment over and over again, or read books?
It's pretty funny. We live in a pretty industrial spot in Brooklyn, and there's not a lot of people around. And there's like one other rooftop, and we'll like go up on the rooftop at 7 p.m. And then these two people will come out of their apartment and do like the whole clapping thing. And it's like, no, nobody's around. It's sweet. It's sweet. But I think it goes pretty unappreciated. You remember that game Diablo 2? Did you ever play that?
I know the game. I don't think I played it, but I know the game.
Yeah, you were like busy getting a record store, getting off the ground. A friend reached out and was like, dude, Diablo 2. And we hacked it. We're on this New York server. We're playing for free. And I've just been getting more and more people into that. We've been playing till like 4 in the morning. And then I get up around 10, 11 o'clock. That's the lifestyle right now.
Have you started to wear a face mask fashion? Is that a thing in New York? Are people like now wearing face masks all the time?
Oh, definitely. We had a housemate meeting on Sunday, and there's a guy who works at a store, and of course he has to tell us like he's doing everything he can, blah blah blah, to not keep the virus out. But then he had a box of he said he can get a box of gloves. And somebody was like, oh, but what color? And he was like, white. And they were like, oh, okay. If you get any black ones, let me know. Like, yeah, fashion is definitely a thing. People are wearing their cloth masks. It's pretty cool. I mean, I'm kind of into it. Like, I was already kind of into the, what do you call it, the cyberpunk thing. I like that. I think it's cool. I mean, whatever.
One thing that's different for you know, LA and New York, and I'm sure you noticed it when you were here a year or two ago, is that we don't really have a public transit system worth anything. You know, it's very limited in scope, whereas New York is clearly built and relies upon their public transit system. Are you avoiding public transit at this time when you do go out?
Hell yeah. I have a car. I usually keep it out of the city, but one win for the little people is that they suspended parking rules. So you don't have to move your car. It's like, wow, you know, we could do this a lot more often, but I'm not on the subway at all. I don't dare. Before my school suspended classes, I was riding the subway I didn't have the car here. And it was a nightmare. It was, I mean, you'd see people staring at Asian people, like angry at them. I saw somebody staring at an Italian man who was clearly from Jersey. He wasn't even from Italy. Hatefully. And then you have these people just coughing everywhere. Like, you know, New York has a big homeless faction and it sucks. And I wish it didn't exist. But I got to say, when you're drunk on the train and clearly very sick and coughing at people, it's not funny.
Yeah, no, it's not. When I was living in New York, and this is a long time ago, there was a kid from Massapequa whose quote unquote strange metalhead friend came into the city once, and we all went into the city, and he goes, "Yeah, don't say anything, but Bill wears gloves wherever he goes." And I'm like, "Why?" He goes, because he doesn't want to, like, touch anything because people are gross, you know? And I'm like, I didn't really think about this back then, you know? But he was only wearing, like, cloth gloves. He wasn't, like, wearing, like, you know, rubber gloves. But still, it was something. Because I didn't really think about it, you know, when you ride the subway, you're touching, you know, who knows what on who knows on whatever, on the handles or on the poles, on the seats, whatever. And then you go get food because, you know, the pizzeria won't let you wash your hands in the bathroom because they don't have one for the public. And you're just eating a slice like, yeah, germy hands.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
No. I feel like a lot of New Yorkers have built up a good immune system because of that, but it's still fucking gross.
Yeah, no, it's certainly unpleasant. I mean, it's certainly unpleasant. Is there anything that's happened during the quarantine that you just found to be hilarious?
Well, I was telling you about that Italian guy. It's actually a pretty funny story. This guy is just sitting talking. I forget if he was on the phone or if he was talking to somebody like next to him. But, you know, he's like talking and he's like clearly Italian, but like Italian American. And like this guy's probably never been to Italy or he aspires to go one day. And this woman is just staring at him. She's sitting a few seats away from me, and there's a gap in between us. So I'm like, I'm just kind of looking at her, and she's glaring at him. And she puts on a mask, glaring at him the whole time, and then takes out another one and puts that over the first one. It was absurd. It was like, this cannot be happening right now. I think the funniest, it's just trying to find someone to blame. Like all the hatred that's happening now, it's absurdly, darkly funny. And I understand there's like a lot of people hurt because of that. There were like a lot of Chinese places that immediately went out of business. This was months ago. Which sucks because they didn't have a link to the virus or anything. They're just making dumplings or something. And that's crazy. But I think the hatred, it's fun to just laugh at it.
I mean, that's all you can do because you're not going to be able to change anyone's mind. I don't think that if you really sat there and tried to explain it to someone that the Chinese restaurant on the corner where you get pho or whatever, the Japanese restaurant, Chinese restaurant, the Thai restaurant, any Asian restaurant has nothing to do with the coronavirus that originated, you know, thousands upon thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
Just coincidentally is originated in China, supposedly, allegedly. And, you know, I've seen it. They've had pieces on the news. I mean, there is a large Asian population here, I believe, in Monterey Park, and they've been the subject of all kinds of, you know, verbal assaults and, you know, whatever they, you know, I try not to like really watch the news about it because it's bothersome, you know, it's a drag. I don't get how people can be that dumb in 2020, but, you know, then again, they can be.
People are, like, assaulting Asian people, and that's just, it's not just fucked up, it's just the dumbest thing I can think of. Because if you truly believe that this person is responsible for the virus, then the logic continues. You think that they have the virus, and then you're going to get in contact with them, like close contact. It's unreal. And then just going back to just imagining that somebody is responsible for this, and that maybe it's not a mistake and people are trying to wreak havoc on the world. I just, it's unreal. It's just like, it's baby fascism, and we don't need that.
No, exactly. And it, you know, I think people put too much faith into the fact that the government or a government could ever pull anything off like this grandiose without there being some sort of like, you know, I don't know. I don't think they're that smart.
Oh, it's like the Bush administration. I think you can show me facts about 9/11 all day, but I just take one look at what that administration was incapable of doing, and that's all the answers I need. There's no way they could pull off a heist on that scale. They couldn't even, like, I mean, they're probably buying up all the toilet paper right now.
Yeah, right? I mean, right, exactly. Like, he couldn't even, like, run a baseball team, George Bush, you know? I think he was involved with the Texas Rangers or something. I don't know, but, yeah. Just...
Well, he couldn't even pitch, so let's not go there.
How many people are you currently living with in your house, and are they all in the same boat as you at this point?
I'm living in kind of a collective housing thing now. I just moved. I moved like a week and a half ago. And there's six other people, I think, and there's one person in Australia. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's seven other people right now. A lot of them, everyone does different things. A lot of them are out of work. It sucks.
They're trying to offer some relief. The government here in California, the state government is trying to offer relief to businesses to keep them open, to keep people on the payroll. Are there similar programs that you know of in New York City that the government's trying to help anything stay open?
Yeah, there's two payroll assistance programs or whatever they're calling them. They're only for smaller businesses. One is for businesses with less than 6 employees, and they're offering, I think, like 40% or 50% of, I think it's 40% of wages for employees for a while. And then there's a bigger one that gives loans, I think. I looked it up at one point. There's a lot of artist relief programs that some of my friends are qualifying for. I don't think that's through the city, though. I think it's through independent grants and unemployment. But who the fuck knows about that?
What's the first thing that you have on your calendar that you maybe haven't written down, but in your mind, that the first thing you're going to want to do when you can leave your house and be free and clear, that doesn't, you know, that has nothing to do with your work or, you know, what's the first thing you want to do?
I want to have a show. I want to put a show on, you know, I want to go to a show, but most of all, I want to have a show, and I want everyone to be there.
I mean, I think that I would hope that people would go to everything they could. You know, it's kind of funny that you joke about my 365 shows in 365 days, right? Like, I get that. It's kind of funny because it's just so dumb. But now, like, when I stay home for a number of days and I don't go to a show, I lose my mind. I've sort of, like, supplemented the mind loss with other things at this point. But, you know, it's like you never know when there's never going to be another show. And now apparently, you know, that stupid thing that I used to say, so you never know when there won't be a show to go to, is pretty much true.
Damn, I didn't even know you used to say that. What was the last show you went to? Just out of
curiosity. Last show I went to was one that I booked. It was a bowling tournament that originally had four bands, and then one band was the only one that played. The other three canceled because of the virus. I mean, it was literally the 15th of March. And everyone who was there at the bowling tournament, the people that didn't cancel, were so grateful that we had it, because that was the last time that a lot of us in that circle of people were together, because the bowling the next night was canceled. But prior to that, I think, I don't remember. It might have been punk rock karaoke, which was at the bowling alley. Okay. That was great. It was awesome. But no one knew that this is it. You know, no one knew this would be the last show.
Yeah. It's wild. I mean, and then the question comes, is everyone going to rush out on the street all at once, or are people going to trickle out? Somebody asked me that, and it really had me pausing, like, do I want to run out into coronavirus aftershock, or am I going to, like, try to half quarantine or something?
Yeah, I don't know, because that's what I was thinking. You know, even if they lifted the ban tomorrow, or not the ban, but if they lifted the ban, if they allowed bars to open and shows to happen, who's going to come out? Like, if I usually would do 150 to 200 people on some shows, would I get even half of that? I don't know. Would I get a tenth of that? I have no idea. You know, I had shows scheduled all the way through this month that have all since been canceled. I'll reschedule eventually. I think it's very optimistic to think anything in May will happen, but who knows? Maybe it will. I don't know. But I haven't canceled May yet. Mm. I haven't canceled May yet. And I had a lot of great shows on the calendar that I had to cancel, and it killed me. But what can you do? I don't know what it's going to look like at a show now. Are they going to have a capacity of 300 that'll be cut down to 100 just so you can be 6 feet away from the person next to you?
Right.
I have a problem with that, because I kind of like that, but I don't really, you know, think that's really very realistic.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
You know, I'd love to go to a movie again. I don't really like watching movies at home. You know, I like to go to the theater. I still just enjoy the experience of going to a theater and watching a movie and leaving the theater.
I know. My roommates were like, let's have movie night. And we have a projector here with a screen. And they're like, what do you want to see? What do you want to see? Everyone's talking about it. And I'm like, I want to see anything that makes me feel like I'm in a theater. Just put it on the projector and let's pretend we're at spectacle. That's all I care about. Oh my God. Hi. Hi. It's a dog.
Yeah, he's barking. Same one from Pittsfield.
Yeah.
He was just barking. He was barking though. I don't know what. So I don't want him to bark through the whole thing, you know? I mean, we're almost done, but what do you miss about traveling? And I know you've done some traveling around. I mean, what do you miss the most? And I think the other part of that is, what should people who haven't traveled do once this ban is lifted?
Oh man. Okay. I love to go to the train or bus station. I know I have 2-3 days, whatever, and I'll just look at the list. And whoever I'm with, maybe by myself, maybe with somebody else, we'll just pick the first departure that we've never been to, just get that ticket and go. And I've discovered a love for amazing places. Right now, I'm really missing Baltimore and this little place called Red Emma's Bookstore. It's like a vegan, anarchist, collective-run bookstore. And for some reason, I just really, really want to go there. I almost today, I had a thought that I just want to drive there and just drive by it and come back. It's like a 6-hour round trip. But that's how insane this is getting. Like Montreal, that would be so cool just to head up to Montreal and see some festivals. It's springtime, you know? I'm planning a road trip across the country this summer, and I just want to like see different landscapes, and I hope it happens.
I've driven across country 5 times, and each time I think I've enjoyed different aspects of it. I didn't always ride the 10 or the 90. I kind of went different ways. I mean, really, you can, as long as you're going in a straight line, for the most part, you're going to hit the West Coast. You know, it's yeah. Really, you can deviate from it a little bit, but, you know, there's not much that you can miss in by going straight west. But, you know, I've gone through the top of Texas, through the middle of Texas, which was like Texas for like a week almost, it seemed. You know, that was kind of brutal. What the hell was I thinking? We took a trip across country, my roommates and I. We hit parts of Texas. We hit New Orleans. We hit Graceland. We went all the way up to Pennsylvania and then back through Cleveland, Chicago. We took a really roundabout way to come back. And I saw stuff on that trip that I'd never seen before. And then on the other subsequent trips, I have gone to some similar places every time I'll go through because they're just kind of fun to hit. You know, they're kind of fun to go to. But I think that people that haven't traveled, they just should really travel, even if it's just in America, even if it's just getting in the car and going, you know, there's so much that you're going to miss, and now you're missing it.
I mean, doing this bus ticket thing, I didn't know Baltimore was like 3 hours away. I didn't know Baltimore was so cool. I didn't know Baltimore, you could get like $6 vegan lunch at several places, and they were all like community businesses. You know, I didn't know any of that. And I've been back to Baltimore like 3 times after that, just because I love it so much. I took a road trip last year down to Florida and New Orleans. We went there. And I just remember we're driving through like fucking Virginia or something. I don't even know where we were. We were somewhere in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And we just turn the corner and there's this place, it's all lit up, and it's this Thai restaurant, and it's just this little oasis out in the middle of nowhere. It had a free jukebox with all this great music, and we just sat there and ate great food, played music for like 3 hours, and then just got back in the car and drove away. That's the kind of thing you're missing if you don't travel. Everyone needs to travel. It's like the way that we all can understand each other.
Like, and you and I both know, and strangely enough, a whole population of people that have never traveled. Like, a little bit here and there, like, you know, an hour or two one way, an hour or two another way. But it strikes me as bizarre that people don't travel. Yeah. And that's, I don't really travel much as I used to. You know, I go to Vegas. You know, and to me, I'm like, oh, good. I'm away from my dog for 4 days. This is enough. I got to go back. But, you know, I still love the experience, and I have a lot of memories. We're just so awesome that I think that when people, now that they're forced to basically not really go anywhere except for like in LA, the essential services like the market or the pharmacy or to get gas for why, I don't know, because you're not driving anywhere, which makes no sense, but that's they're open. And, you know, when you can't travel, it's you miss out on so much. And I think when you're forced to be home, it changes your perspective on a lot of things. But where are some of the places you would like to go that you haven't discovered or haven't even explored yet?
Oh, so many places. I really want to go to Toronto. I've never been there. That would be fun. I'd like to make it up to like the Twin Cities. My brother's been in Texas. He's been in law school. So I want to visit him. He's in Austin. So never been to Texas, never been to Austin. I'd love to go to Mexico too. I've never been south of the border. I've never been to South America, at least as like beyond 1 year old. And I'd love to check that out. And also, I've never been to Europe. So Berlin and, I don't know, Spain, Italy, I know people in Paris right now, like I have friends all over the world and I want to visit them. It's mostly just where my friends are, because anywhere you go is going to be cool. There's going to be something cool about it.
In the neighborhood where you live or that you haven't discovered or in your old neighborhood where you used to live, what do you miss most there? Is there like a, you mentioned the coffee ritual on Mondays, mm-hmm. but is there something that you just can't go to, like to go to your favorite restaurant? Is it takeout only there now?
Yeah, it's no, actually, I'm not even sure. I haven't even like braved it. I think there's a few restaurants that are open. I don't know if it's takeout or what. I just moved to this neighborhood. I'm walking distance from Champ's Diner. You know that place?
No.
It's a vegan diner. It feels a little LA, to be honest, because it's like, you know, but it's good. And it's a little expensive now. It used to be a lot cheaper, but that place is great. There's an Ethiopian vegan place I can walk to now. That is closed. They have a coffee ritual on like weekend nights. Sitting in the coffee, like being surrounded by people in any capacity, even people you don't know, miss that a lot. There's a place called Toad Style, which has like really good and pretty healthy vegan junk food that was in my old neighborhood. I used to walk there for Sunday breakfast or lunch or brunch or whatever. And that place, miss that. Like diners, I mean, even near Wall Street where the school is that I work at, I had like my rituals there. I'd go to the buffet, I'd go to the Cuban place, I'd go to the Indian place. Like every week I had four or five places where I was going there. The Chicharron up in Washington Heights by the youth orchestra. I'd get like mofongo there and or not mofongo, but whatever the Dominican version of that is. And I forget which one is which, but it was so fucking good. That's the point.
People joke about the freshman 15 when you go away to college. Have you experienced the quarantine 15 yet?
The quarantine 15? I don't even know what the freshman 15 is.
Oh, the freshman 15. It's a joke. Like when you go away to college and you're now away from home and you're eating three square meals a day, but it's, you know, it's basically all kinds of food like waffles and burgers and fries and just the worst possible food, and you gain weight. Like, this is the thing, you gain weight from all the pizza and the beer or whatever. So they call it the freshman 15. It's kind of a joke. So people have been saying they're unable to go to the gym. Believe it or not, I do go. And so exercise time is limited because you're like, yeah, I could go for a walk, but it's outdoors and there's people and they're breathing with the mask.
No, I lost weight. I couldn't eat for like 2 weeks. I couldn't deal with like food and being at home and the shock of that. And then I moved. So it was like I'm carrying loads and loads of shit because I was trying to save money. So I just had a moving company do the big stuff. And then I just did everything else by myself in my car. I have a lot of shit, like amps. I don't know why I keep all this. It's just optimism. But maybe I'll gain a little weight now. Everyone's cooking for each other in this house, and we're making a lot of food.
Well, I appreciate your time. And if you wanted to add anything else, like if you wanted to just share with anyone who's listening to this what your plans are beyond hopefully – the festival that happens, or if it doesn't happen, it gets rescheduled. But what are your plans for the rest of the year, assuming we're back to quote unquote normal within the next month or so?
Well, this band I'm doing is trying to raise like an absurd amount of money for animation, because the idea is that we're going to have animation going with the music, and we're putting on this like friendly all ages or kid friendly all ages show eventually down the line, about an hour and a half, hour to hour and a half of animation and music. Very like weird experimental stuff, but eventually we're going to have a fundraiser for that. We were going to do it in person. The cellist from that quartet donated some money so that we could just put on the fundraiser, and hopefully that'll be in the fall, but I really want that to be in person. I don't want it to be some like GoFundMe online, which is, those things are terrible, and every time I see them I cringe. Sorry everybody, I know it helps a lot of people, but I don't like those things. I like showing up at shows, and that's what I'm hoping, is that by the fall we can have our fundraiser in person.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, because I know that you are an artistic person, and it's like not being able to showcase your art in whatever capacity that may be will get to you after a while.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does.
All of your links and your bio is here in the synopsis. So definitely check out what Simon's doing and what he's hopefully doing in the future. And to learn more about him, you can look at the links here. And I want to thank you again for your time. And again, much appreciated.
Oh, thank you, Andy. I really enjoyed the first show. It was cool. I'm interested to see what else you're going to do.
Well, sanitize, wash your hands, wear gloves on the subway.
yeah, you too, if you go out.
Wear your face mask. You gotta wear your face mask. Before I let you go, the funniest thing, in LA, usually after larger shows, like at the Palladium or the Forum or, you know, just the big sold out shows with, you know, whoever, like, I don't know. They had it for the Misfits, but they also had it for like Foo Fighters. They'll be the bootleg t-shirt guys and girls out on the street, you know, selling bootleg t-shirts, right?
Yeah.
So I think I saw the same crew today in Los Angeles selling face masks and like bandanas and stuff, because they were holding them up like in their hand, you know, like a deck of cards fanned out. And they were at the supermarket parking lot, you know, the entrance, like trying to get people to buy face masks and stuff. It was kind of funny. I mean, it was kind of weird and surreal. Like,
oh, that's so funny. The New York equivalent of that is, you know, I grew up on the Lower East Side, right across the street from Tompkins Square Park, which was called Needle Park. You know, there was that movie Love in Needle Park and all this, the festival and the riot, whatever. But it was just like needles and condoms. I mean, I learned what a condom was. I was probably 4 years old, and my friend was like, "That's for sex." And I'm like, "I don't even know what sex is, and I don't know what you're pointing to." But that's how many, you know. And now it's gloves. Gloves are everywhere.
I guess people are playing it safe.
Yeah, hopefully. God, I have friends who are dating still, and it's like, don't do that. People... just stay home. Sexed. Quarantine! Quarantine!